Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's take out our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs as we're continuing our theme of Proverbs for parents and looking at fall home improvement. Proverbs 22 will be our initial text tonight. We'll actually look at several passages of Scripture. And we'll start off here in Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3 reads this: "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The proverb here speaks about a person who is prudent. A prudent person, if we understand what the word prudent means, is a person who can formulate things. They can process things. And they can see the situation and they can craft a plan or formulate a plan or put a plan together to do something. It's sometimes used in Proverbs in a negative sense, the same exact word used in a negative sense, and it's translated crafty. It has that bad feel here that someone is crafty and they're able to put together mischievous plans. But in the good sense, a prudent person can look at a situation and analyze it, and they can process what they ought to do there. They ought to see what is going on and come up with an effective and proper plan of action. And so when you apply that meaning back into the verse, a prudent person foresees the evil and he hides himself. He has this plan of action to get out of the way because evil's coming. If he keeps going down the path, he sees that evil is there. And so he's prudent and he's able to figure out, I better not keep going this way. I need to change my direction. He's prudent. He gets out of the way. That's what it's talking about here. I grew up in Marshalltown, Iowa, in the church there, and the pastor there for many years was Pastor Jaspers. And as pastors do from time to time, they may give a repeat illustration. By now, I'm sure you've heard me repeat some of them. But he had one in particular that he would tell from time to time to illustrate repentance. And he talked about how one particular day he was driving down the road in his van, and I believe it was his van, he was driving down the road, and he saw a squirrel run across the road in front of him. He didn't have any time to react, and so he had to simply just keep on driving, feeling for sure that he had squashed the squirrel. And so as he was kept on driving down the road, he looked in the rearview mirror to look back and see probably what was the leftover remains of Mr. Squirrel. And as he looked in the rearview mirror, he could see that that squirrel instead was still alive and was running back this way across the road as fast as his little feet could carry him. And he would always play it up in a rather enjoyable way and try to process and inform us of what was going through that squirrel's mind. That here that squirrel was going in this direction across the road, and it came to a point in time in which it realized that if it continued to go in this direction, it was going to be very harmful for that squirrel's health. And so he realized he needed to turn around and go in a different direction. He had a change of mind that resulted in a change of action. That is repentance. The prudent squirrel foresaw the evil and hid himself. He could see that trouble was coming if he continued to go this way, the big tires of this vehicle, and so he turned around and went a different direction. And the incredible thing is, this is one of the purposes of Proverbs. We're going to move a lot tonight, so keep your fingers all moistened up here and go back to chapter number 1. This is one of the purposes of Proverbs, is to help people to be prudent. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 4 is going to use this same word. It's translated differently in our Bibles, but it's the same idea. It tells us that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, verse 4, and they're given to give subtlety to the simple. Now that word subtlety is the word prudence. God gave the Proverbs, Solomon wrote these Proverbs to his son in order to give his son subtlety, in order to give his son prudence, in order to give his son the ability to foresee the evil and hide himself instead of passing on and being punished. That's one of the purposes of God's Word. And this book is such a great treasure because it does that for us. It tells us if we continue down this path, it's going to be harmful. Instead, we need to go down this path instead. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow His guidance and direction. And the stories and everything that's in it, the teaching, the instruction, the warnings, all of that is in there to guide us and direct us and help us to see that. It's God's desire that young people, that children, even adults, but we're talking about the home here tonight, have prudence. That they can look out and see that there is wickedness, and wickedness will take them down a road, and it's going to have a horrible outcome if they go down that. God wants that. God wants our children to be able to look past all of the glitter of the gold and the shining of the silver to see that might lead to a covetous heart. They better not steer down that course. God wants their teenagers to be able to see further than one night of romance and wildness, to the pain of immorality, the STDs, the pregnancies, the emptiness. God wants our youths, our children, to understand that every option that's out there is not a good option. There are good ones and there are bad ones. God wants them to be wise enough to pick and choose what roads they go down in life. God wants people to understand that some roads will harm them if they will go down these roads. Proverbs is given. Solomon wrote so that his son would understand what it is to be prudent, that he would foresee the evil and hide himself. And I have found, as I've just gone through Proverbs here for this study, I have found that Solomon does a pretty good job of helping his son, or helping the daughter, the youth, the simple one, to see the dangers that lie before him. He does a good job. He helps their eyes to be open to the horrible consequences of sin. He helps them understand that sin is going to cost them a whole lot more than they want to pay. The consequences are going to last a lot longer. It's going to be a lot worse if they continue down these paths. You look at whole chapters of Proverbs. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 are just chock full of this. He's warning his son, telling them of these dangers. He brings out contrasts so many times. The contrasted life. This is what will happen to the righteous, but this is what happens to the wicked. He's pointing out the outcome there. And when he describes it in such clear terms. I mean, you don't miss it. He describes it in such graphic, such vivid language that you understand, whoa, I better not head down that road. He describes it in terms sometimes that are absolutely terrifying. Just scares you to death. I don't want to go down that way. I don't want to walk down that path. That would be terrible if that happened in my life. And he gives warnings for the home. So we've looked at all sorts of different truths about the home, but tonight I want to talk to you about warning in the home. Now, when I say warning in the home, I'm not talking about the expression, I'm warning you. It's not what I mean in that sense. But we're here talking about putting into the mind of our children, putting in the mind, what if we're counseling other people, other adults, as we work with other people, whether there are children or not, putting into their mind that actions have consequences and that the consequences of sin are horrific. They're horrible. Who would want to go down those paths? That's warning them, helping them to understand, helping them to see what's going on. So many times our kids, our children, young people struggle thinking, you know, 2 minutes from now. They look at the here and now, they look at what's going on right now, and they don't realize that if they get on this path, that 5 years, or maybe even just 5 minutes from now, it's going to be hardship, it's going to be tragedy, and it's going to be difficult. And one of the greatest things that we can do as parents is to provide some warning for them, to provide some guidance and direction so that they will see that they need to go in the right path. Sometimes we fail to warn our children. We need to give them these warnings. Now, the word warn simply means to make a person aware, to give them a notice, advise them of harm or danger or impending evil. And we need to paint the consequences of sin as painful, unchangeable, life-altering, unending. They're very damaging. So that when the devil comes along and tries to entice them and say, this is a great idea, you should try it. Just give in a little bit. Just sample it for a little while. Why don't you come down this road? that they can clearly remember, if I go down that road, if I listen to what he's saying, if I give in to the lust of the flesh, if I follow the world, this is where it will take me. And they are warned. They are admonished. And they can fight back against a lie of the devil, that temptation that paints it so rosy, so wonderful, so glorious. And instead of giving in, they'd say, no, why would I want to do that? This will land me here instead. They need to understand. Perhaps you heard in the news in the last couple months the tragedy of the young boy here in the cities who, I believe, was trying to get on a train. He was trying to get on some sort of train here and slipped and fell off, and the train ran over his legs and severed his legs. And we talked about that in our home with our children. And yesterday we were at the Minnesota History Museum in St. Paul, and we were looking at some different exhibits. And one of the exhibits is a boxcar. And you can go in and you can look at this boxcar, and it tells you, you know, about the grain that can go in it and whatnot. And we walked down the steps off the boxcar inside this museum, and we looked at the wheels. And we just talked with a couple of them just for a moment there about how big those wheels are. And what would it be like if you fell and slipped off and your legs slipped underneath those wheels, and how you literally have no chance of your legs making it after that train ran over your legs. And what was I trying to do? I was trying to help them understand the consequences of action. There's a train track not far from here. And we drive our bicycles underneath the train track when we're back at Rock Slide Park sometimes. And I don't want my kids to ever think of the fun that it would be to try to get on a train and find out that they made the horrible mistake of doing so and end up losing their legs for the rest of their lives. We have to warn our children. We have to warn other people of the consequences that will come. And I find it's incredible. As I look through the Proverbs, I found that the Proverbs bring out warning in five different ways. There's five different ways, at least five. You may find more. Five different ways that we can warn people. And I just want you to see these tonight, and we'll be done. How to warn people. Number one, you can warn by teaching. Warn by teaching. You're in chapter 1 here, and let's look at verse number 18. In verse number 10, he says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then he gives the consequence in verse number 18. "They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." And here, Solomon is giving a firm warning about some bad friends. And these bad friends don't have any problem with going out and harming other people. And he says, stay away from these guys. Hey, there's some harm if you're coming here. And he's just plain teaching them about it. You can look over at chapter 1 and verse number 26. He teaches as well here. He says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." And there at the end of the chapter, he's talking about here wisdom has been extended and offered to children. It's been offered to young people. It's been offered to adults even. And here they can choose the wise path. But there's scorners and rejectors and mockers here. And they scoff at wisdom. They reject wisdom. And Solomon says, listen, there'll be a day coming in which you wish you had wisdom. And you'll cry out for wisdom. And wisdom will turn around and mock you and make fun of you. And you'll say, I wish I would have had it. And he just teaches the consequences of rejecting wisdom. Look over at chapter 2 and verse number 16. "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." And he describes in those verses there what it's like to commit immorality with a wicked woman, to be involved with a wicked woman. He wants him to understand that. He warns his son that if you are involved with girls in this way, it's not going to turn out well. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 15. Chapter 4 and verse number 15. He says, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence." And there we can see back from verse number 14, he's talking about wicked people, wicked men, wicked individuals, wicked associations. And he says, listen, if you get in with these people, it's going to have some harmful consequences here. Don't have the wrong kind of friends. Look over at chapter number 5 and verse number 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Do you want to waste years of your life? All the honor and the splendor and the glory of your reputation, do you want to just give it up and throw it away? He says, and thou mourn, verse 11, at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Do you want your body to be riddled with diseases? Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction in my heart, despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And again, he describes here what the outcome will be if a guy messes around with an inappropriate woman here. He describes what that's like. He wants him to understand the outcome. Look at verse number 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sins, of his sins. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. You want to be involved in sin in general? You want to be involved in it? He describes what will happen. You will be in bondage of your own sins. You know, we can warn other people by simply teaching them. One part of that is by explaining, telling the steps, showing how it happens. For example, you know, I've heard as a pastor, I heard other pastors saying it when growing up, that oftentimes when a person is heavily involved in church and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden they start to maybe miss a Wednesday night service and it becomes routine, and then pretty soon they miss Sunday night service and it becomes routine, and pretty soon they miss Sunday school and it becomes routine, and then pretty soon they just drop out of church completely. And this isn't a message on church attendance here. I'm not talking about that. But I'm simply saying that when you hear someone describe that, and then if you were to find that to be in the case of your own life, that all of a sudden some areas are slipping up in here and you're going less and less and less, all of a sudden it might trigger in your mind, oh, I'm going down that path that was described. Sometimes you need to give those steps. You need to describe it just a little bit here so that they can understand it. In Proverbs chapter number 9, I think he does this here in verse number 13. He gives some more details. Notice these details. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. And he describes what she's saying. He describes how she acts and what she's like and what her character is like. He describes it in all these different sort of ways. So that if you start walking down the path and you start recognizing, oh, this, I remember when I was warned. He gives some of those characteristics. He gives some of those details. Proverbs chapter 23, you don't have to turn there, but he warns about women and wine getting drunk. He notices in Proverbs chapter 19, he talks about this. Judgment are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. He says, if you want to go down the path of being a scorner, you're going to face judgment. You want to go down the path of being a fool, you're going to get stripes across your back. And that's not because someone used a marker and made a stripe. It's from the whiplash across your back. Punishment is coming. And here we can warn in our home by simply teaching where different paths lead. Again, we're not talking about threatening. We're not talking about I'm warning you, but we're talking about teaching them that all roads in life are not equal. Some have terrible outcomes. The second thing you can do is warn by illustrating. Warn by illustrating. This is a great way of communicating it. You can make some really graphic comparisons, some very vivid comparisons that will really grab the attention of the child, of the person you're dealing with, even the adult, and they really tend to stick with them. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 6 and we'll see one of these brought out here. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe or a deer from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. He makes this comparison here, and he's saying, you know, if you're co-signing on a loan, if you're striking your hand, if you're signing yourself in with your friend here, he says, you're in a trap. You're in a snare. You're like this wild animal that's got their foot caught in a trap or has gone into one of these metal cages to get something to eat, and the door has shut behind it. And you know what? It's not going to be a pretty picture. When you get into those traps, very rarely is it for the benefit of the animal. Most of the time, it's for the benefit of the hunter. And often, it's going to be something where they are going to kill you. They are going to slaughter the animal that's in there because they want the skin, or because the animal's been a problem, or whatever the case may be. They're trying to trap the animal, and it's going to bring harm to it. And he says, listen, if you're involved in this, it's like this animal. And you know, maybe the child has seen a deer, a buck, after it's just been shot. Maybe they've been on a hunting experience. Maybe they've seen it in a magazine or seen some pictures, or maybe they've been to a relative's farm when the relative trapped some wild animal that was causing problems and then exterminated the thing. And all of a sudden, this warning sticks out in their mind that if I'm involved in this, it's just like me being in a hunter's trap. There's another one in chapter 6. Look at verse number 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her, shall not be innocent. You're sitting around the campfire there, and you're just enjoying some s'mores with your family and some hot dogs, and you look down at the wood that's there that's been cooking for a couple hours, and the logs are nice and hot and red, and you can see some coals there. And you can talk to your children, and you can say, or to anyone really that's gathered around, and can you imagine if you just reached in there with your hand and picked up one of those red coals in your bare hand? Would you do that? Would you pick up one of those hot, fiery, red coals in your hand and just hold it there for a minute? I can't imagine doing that. I would think it would just melt the skin right off your hand and just sear it in just incredible pain there. We can't imagine doing that. Have you ever had anybody take a piece of ice in the summer and you're walking along and they drop it down your shirt? You ever had someone do that? You know, it's cold and you got to find it, especially if your shirt's tucked in, and dig that thing out of there. What if you were walking by tonight in the campfire? You'd never, ever do this. What would it be like if someone picked up one of those coals and put it down your shirt? Yeah. It would burn. And it would leave a mark that would last for the rest of your life. It would just burn your flesh off. It would sear all the way down. It would be painful. And you know, the Bible says if a guy messes around with somebody else's wife, that's what you're doing. It's like you're reaching down into the fire and taking one of those coals and putting it on your own shirt. And you're not going to be the same anymore. It's going to hurt. It's going to leave a mark forever. You're never going to get that erased. It's going to hurt for a long time. And that's what the Bible teaches about immorality, especially with a married woman. And you know, when you use some sort of illustration, as he does here, he's describing this to his son. Verse number 1 tells us that. Verse number 20 tells us that as well. He's describing it to his son, and with a very vivid illustration. It has a tendency to stick in your mind. Proverbs 12 and verse number 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. There's another comparison. Have you seen a healthy pumpkin, a nice pumpkin, and all of a sudden it sits outside for a couple months and the frost and the snow comes, but it still sits outside on someone's porch? Pretty soon it caves in. It's rotten. It's mushy. They move it away and maybe Well, maybe everything's frozen too much to see any squiggly things underneath it that are moving, but it has a tendency of smelling. And he says here that she that maketh her husband ashamed is like rottenness in his bones. It's a graphic statement that sticks in our minds. Illustrations are powerful. They pack a punch. They help us connect. They help us see how serious things are, and we remember them. How many times have you heard a pastor preach, and you can tell the story he told, but you might not remember the whole message? You remember maybe the point because you remember the illustration. You can warn by illustrating. But there's a third way that you can warn other people. You can warn them by relating personal experiences. By relating personal experiences. Look over at chapter 7, verse number 6. He's talking to his son. We found that in verse number 1. But verse number 6, he says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." And he goes on to describe here in those verses a young man that goes out and commits immorality with a married woman. And it's almost as if Solomon's saying, "Son, let me tell you what happened. One night, I wanted some milk and cookies before I went to bed. And so I went down to the refrigerator and I got my cup of milk and my cookies." I forgot to bring my cookie tonight. "I got my cup of milk and cookies. And as I was just walking through the kitchen, I just happened to glance out the window. And I looked out the window and it was the strangest thing. I saw this college age student, you know, someone in their 20s or so, walking by the house. Now, it was kind of late at night, and so I was really surprised to see someone walking out there. And so I just kind of watched there, kind of in the window, and sipped my milk and ate some of my cookie. And I watched, and lo and behold, even though it was night, another person was walking along and talked to this person. It was a girl. And as I looked at this guy and this girl talking, something was obvious about this girl. I mean, this girl, it was obvious that she was just out to get guys' attention. You could tell it by the way she was dressed. But, you know, it was a really quiet summer night. And so I was sitting there, and the windows were open to get a little breeze, and I could actually hear what they were talking about. I could actually hear what she was saying. And she knew the smoothest words to say to this guy. She was flirting with him and trying to do all this sort of thing with him. But the incredible thing was, she was married. In fact, she even told the guy she was married. And yet here's this guy carrying on this conversation. You knew what she wanted. You knew where she was going with it. And I couldn't believe I watched it happen right here on Hanson Boulevard. From my window, I saw it take place. And that guy and that girl went off and did some horrible things. I saw it take place. Or maybe like in Proverbs chapter number 24 when Solomon says, "Hey, one day I was out on my chariot and I was just surveying my kingdom. I was driving down the road and I happened to see a farm over in the distance that I haven't been by in a while. And so I turned my chariot down the road and as I was going up close to that farm, I could see this farm pretty carefully. Man, I could see that this farm was a mess. I mean, the wall that goes around the farm, the fence, you know, it was all just crumbled down. It was run over with weeds. There were weeds all over, but they weren't just weeds. They were thorns and nettles. We had nettles on the farm growing up, and I hated them because they not only kind of scraped and hurt you, but they also kind of had a tendency to itch. I didn't like nettles. And this farm was just overrun with these nettles. It was overrun with these thorns. The wall was broken down. And you know, I looked at that and I thought, you know what the problem was? It was just a little bit of laziness every single day that got that nice farm and ruined it because somebody was lazy. I saw that farm. And you know, that is the power of relating a personal experience. That's what he says. I saw it there. And you know, so many times we as adults have so many powerful different experiences that we had. I mean, we've read the newspaper, and we can say, "I read this story about," and we can tell it very vividly. We know somebody, one of our relatives. We know somebody at work. One of our neighbors has gone through this sort of thing, and we can look at our children, and we can look at other adults that are around us that we're trying to minister to, and we can say, let me tell you a very true story. This really did happen. And everybody sits there just like all the kids did just a moment ago and listens so carefully because it's from personal experience. And we can relate those things. And they stick into our minds. But there's a fourth way that we can warn other people. This might surprise you. Look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19, we have two brief ways more to discuss here and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 25. Toward the end of the chapter, he says this, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Look at chapter 21, and verse number 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Number four, you can warn by chastening others. He says, listen, if you will correct the scorner, this kid over here is going to be watching and he's going to say, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want that punishment that that kid got. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to change my life. And you are warning that person. Let me mention a name to you. His name is Achan. Let me mention a name to you. His name is Ananias and his wife's name is Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and God struck them dead in an instant. Achan went out there and disobeyed God directly and stole that which belonged to God. And you know, they took rocks and boulders and they threw him on him until he was dead. They burnt his body, though it was left, with fire. And then they took a whole pile of stones and they piled them up on top of Achan. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go down that path. I don't want that to happen to me. I can look at these actions that others have gone through, and I can say, I want to avoid that path. And you know, sometimes, well, often it is the case, that by punishing and disciplining others, they need it anyway. Other people who are wise will look at it and say, I don't want to go down that path. I better obey. It's not even warning them in their own lives. It's doing it in someone else's lives that makes a difference. And when in the end, we've helped two people. This person and this person. There needs to be that discipline, that correction, that chastening to warn other children as well. Last of all, I would say this. We see in Proverbs that you can warn by pointing out the outcome with the Lord. Pointing out the outcome with the Lord. Look back at chapter number 12. Proverbs 12 and verse number 22. Proverbs 12 and verse number 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3 here as we wrap up tonight. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. Proverbs 3:32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. You know, I hope that our children appreciate God. We hope that there's a time in their life in which they want God to answer their prayers. When they really look forward to fellowshipping with God and enjoying His presence and enjoying Him speak to their heart and them being able to communicate with Him. That there's such that thirst and desire and passion in their heart to want to spend time with God. That we can point to this and say, listen, if you go down this path, you're going to break your fellowship with God. No, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose His blessing. You're going to lose God's power in your life. You're not going to enjoy that sweet fellowship with God. We have to bring in the spiritual aspect. You go down this path, it will ruin your body. There are some sins that will ruin your body. You go down this path, it is going to hurt. There's going to bring such pain. It's going to be like that coal of fire in your shirt. You go down this path and it will ruin you financially. Yeah, we do the bodily and we can do the emotionally and we can do the financial, but we need to do the spiritual. And we need to say, listen, if you head down this path, it is going to harm your relationship with God. And you know, you're going to want to ask for God's blessing when you go for that job interview. And you're going to want God's blessing on that job interview. But the problem is, you've been lying all the way through the process. You want to ask for God's blessing upon your home and upon your family. But here's the problem over here. You were involved in this sin. And as a result, you're missing out on it. And we point, we make the consequences very vivid, and we remind them of the spiritual aspect. Hey, what's it like to be a proud scorner, as Proverbs teaches, and have God turn around and scorn you in return? What's it like to have your relationship with God hurt because of your sin? What's it like to lose the delight and blessing of God upon your life? We need to paint those consequences. God loves them very much. God knows their name. God's interested in them. God has some wonderful things for them in their life, but they can miss it by going down the wrong path. And so as I've looked through Proverbs and considered these Proverbs for parenting, I've been mindful of the importance of showing the consequences, giving warnings in this sense. Children have a hard time understanding time. Well, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes that says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. Because consequences don't always come right away, they think, I can get by with it. And we as parents, it's our job to tell them, listen, you're not going to get by with it. And you go down this path, and this is where it's going to lead, because the devil's going to be there. Their flesh is going to be there. The world's going to be there. And it's going to do all that it can to erase the consequences, to close their eyes to the consequences, to blind them to those consequences, when instead they need to have their eyes wide open and say, whoa, if I go down that, this is what's going to happen, and I don't want that. We need to warn our children. We can warn them in these different ways. We need warning in the home.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.